John chapter 3. We've been making our way through the book of John. Man, this is a good one today. Hey guys, I had really fun last week, you know, when we did the camping thing. And, you know, I want you to know something. I'm just not always comfortable. I'm not the best guy, you know, with money, like pushing money. And I thought, I don't care. We're out at the park. I'm not going to mention anything about it, you know, because we got faithful people that give. And I just want you to know that last week proved that. So, you know, people that are faithful and love the Lord, they do it. And I'm not a pastor that sits up here and talks about money a lot. You know what I talk about? Being faithful. I talk about walking with Jesus. Because then the money will take care of itself, right? That's what the Bible says. That it's out of the abundance of the heart that we speak. It's out of the treasures of our heart that we give. And so that's what God wants. He don't want grudging givers. I'm not going to beat people up about giving. And so, but faithful people of God, you know what they do? They give. So anyways, just a big plug for last week and all of you that are just faithful to the Lord. And I've had people even during the week that will come in and say, man, you know, you didn't take up, an offering. And so we wanted to bring ours. Praise the Lord. You know, that's awesome. You know, so God's good, isn't he? He's faithful. He's very faithful. John chapter 3. We've been making our way through the book of John. We've seen it several different ways, and now we're just covering verse by verse by verse. Now, here's what I got to do today. I'm not going to be able to just necessarily camp out in 4 or 5 verses. We got to get through the whole chapter today. And so don't panic on that. I'm going to try to give a big picture. I'm not even going to start out here at the beginning and read the entire chapter. There's 36 verses here, but we'll probably cover absolutely most of them. So go to John chapter 3 and look at verse 1. It says this. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Like, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And then verse 7, Marvel not that I say unto thee, ready guys, ye must be born again. You know, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And for the third time, it says in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Man, let's tackle this whole chapter of the Bible, but especially this subject right here. Let me give you something really cool here. If you're in chapter 2, or go to chapter 2, the last verse. It says, verse 24 and 25, And Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So Jesus knew what was in man. Jesus knows, right? Now we know, we hear it around here, in Romans 3:23, the Bible says, from the very beginning, when Adam sinned, we are all born in what? Sin, which makes us all sinners. So if you were taking notes, I would put down something like this. Jesus knows what's in man. But men don't know what's in Christ. Like, Jesus knows what's in man. Hey, we got a birth problem, man. People are like, yeah, we got a bad problem, man. People are doing bad things. No, people are bad. You know, don't buy into socialism. Socialism says people are good. So let's control the environment so they live good and right. But that's ridiculous. Where in the world has that worked? Nowhere. Because it's against God's word. It's against mankind, actually. It's against their very nature. There's a birth problem. Romans 3:23 says that, all have sinned. If you're quick in your Bible, I love over in Romans chapter 7. I love in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul, talking about his flesh and his spirit, he says, "For I know that in me," he says, "that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." In the flesh dwells no good thing. Henceforth, we're in John chapter 3, and he's going to take us and say, this is what your flesh will bring you, but if you're born again and have a spiritual birth, everything changes. People have a birth problem. That's exactly what it is. I love how the Lord ends chapter 2 and just says, yeah, I know man. And you would think he would give a great example and say, yeah, let me pull him out of here. Here's a meth addict. Oh, here's a lady that's a lady of the streets. Here's a vulgar person. Here's a disgusting person that has disgusting habits in their life. No, but after saying that, instead he enters the chapter and just says, well, there was a Pharisee. That's a religious leader, a Jewish leader. His name was Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. To make his point that Jesus says he knows what's in mankind, he decides to put out the best, fanciest, probably most, moral, even like maybe self-righteous person you could ever find. Puts him right here and says, here they are. So basically what this would be is, you know, it would be somebody say, my gosh, that looks great. You ever go over here to the bar and somebody made something, you're like, and we know, I know this, usually it's the ugly stuff that tastes good. Ugly desserts taste the best, you know, usually. I'm just saying. I always buy the ugliest meat. One, it's on sale. When it starts getting brown, get a little green, I gotta buy that meat, you know, because it's cheaper, you know. But honestly, ugly meat, some people buy pork chops, but look at this beautiful white pork chop. And my mind thinks, dry. You know, when you go buy a ribeye, everybody looks for good marbling in it. You want little fat in it, right? You know, then that piece of meat looks ugly. It's going to be delicious, man. I'm telling you here, you know. So Jesus says, watch this. Look at this dessert. But what he basically shows you and me is, even though this looks like a beautiful chocolate eclair, what it really is somebody got that out of the litter box. Yes, it's a cat turd. But they put nice chocolate and fudge all around it. Honestly, if you just get to the surface of it and lick it, you'll probably like, this is great. Until you bite it. And then you're going to realize, what do I got a hold of here? Well, the biblical word for that would be turd. That's what you got a hold of. Fudge, you know, it's like, I don't know, one of the ugliest animals on the planet, in my opinion, would be like a hyena. I think they're ugly. They got them long necks. I'm not saying they ain't tough. You know, I get it. But it's just like, you know, let's take a hyena and put him in a tuxedo. It don't change the fact he's a hyena. He's going to revert back to his very nature. See, and that's why in this chapter, in John chapter 3, look over verse 17. Let me read these few verses here. It says, "For God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Verse 19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light." Why? It says, because their deeds were evil. Their deeds proved that their nature was evil. 21, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." This is one of the reasons it keeps people from coming to Christ. Because they know when you come to light, your deeds are going to be exposed. This is why people make decisions and do things the way... People do what they want to do, period. And that is the end of the story. People oftentimes don't do what God's word says. No, they get on their own journey and do what they want to do. And their deeds will basically prove that, my gosh, these folks are sinful. See, Jesus knows what's in man, but men actually don't know what's in God, don't know what's in Jesus Christ. And this is why it's going to bring me to this next point if you're taking notes. Listen, gang, men require a witness. Men require a witness, and that's what you'll find out as you read and go through this chapter. Men require it. You know, you got this ruler, you got this spiritual leader just because he's spiritual. By the way, if you read the book of Romans 1, 2, and 3, you'll find out the three types of sinners that's on the planet. They're all sinners. They're all the same, but they come in three different packages. The prettiest package, the tuxedo package, the religious package, is the hardest to lead to Christ because they're self-righteous. They think they're good because they're like, isn't that delicious? It's fudge. Are you sure about that? It's funny. There was a guy at lunch where I was at this conference. He's like, I don't know what this is. And he grabbed this. Somebody made fudge, you know, like Christmas fudge was at this thing. He put it in, he looked at me and he goes, is that fudge? I was just like, I make no guarantees, man. I do not know what that is. Because you know what looks exactly like the same? Mm-hmm. It's just true. It's rich young, isn't it funny, the rich young ruler, it says in verse 2 that he comes to Jesus by night. Hey, Rabbi. Comes at nighttime. Because, you know, when you're supposed to have all the answers and live the cleanest and really know the law, you're a Pharisee, you don't ever want to get caught asking questions because you need answers. But what I love about this is Jesus proves over and over and over again that he has the answers to our questions. He does. You know, God wrote a book. The answers are here. He's got them, right? See, men, though, as stubborn as men and mankind is, men require witnesses. It says in verse 11, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. A witness. They changed the word. What's the word witness mean? Well, they changed the word. It's the same Greek word, but they change it, and they change it on purpose. Now we got a dictionary here. Look at verse 32, John 3:32. And what he seen, what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. Before it talked about a witness. Verse 33, he that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. The bottom line is this. Men require a witness. They require it. Let me show you something that's really pretty special. In Romans chapter 1, if you look at like verse 19, Romans 1:19, God knew this. Romans 1, in verse 19, it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. I want you to know, God creates, you know, when mankind come on the planet, he's got a conscience. There's something in them. That's why the book of Romans says that judgment day, if somebody doesn't know the Bible, they're in a country, Christianity's never been there, God will say, well, then let's put your conscience on trial. And the Bible said they'll be judged without the law. Listen to this, gang. No man can keep his own conscience. No person can keep their own conscience. You say you want to do things, you have standards in your life. Everybody compromises those standards, some more than others. Religious people don't like to admit it, but some more than others. And then it says here in verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. They're being understood by the things that are made. So then, now there's creation. So God puts a witness of a conscience of a man, and then there's creation. They both witness of who he really is. Now listen. Those witnesses alone can lead people in the right direction, but cannot save anybody. There's people all over the planet that recognize God and creation. Some actually turn and they end up twisting it, and then they end up worshiping creation instead of the Creator. That's very common around the globe. But this is why we get to John chapter 3 as he's talking about being born again. Even though men have conscience, even though they have creation, we see three times that it's mentioned that somebody comes along and they're going to testify. They're going to witness to the things they have seen. This is how God set this up for you and me. Did you realize in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 it says, once you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, and the Spirit of God comes inside of you. Acts 1:8 says one of the big reasons and purposes for that is ye shall be what? Witnesses. Why? Because men require witness. Their conscience and creation is not going to do it. It can point them, and that's why the Bible says if a man seeks the Lord with his heart, he'll find him. You'll never find him on your own. It won't happen. You got conscience and creation. It can head you in the right direction. This is why I don't know if you've ever checked this verse out. Go to Acts chapter 17. I love this passage in Acts chapter 17. It says in verse 30, Acts 17, 30, it talks about people like worshiping idols. Look at 29. For as much then as, this is at Athens where Paul goes and says, oh, you got an unknown God. They set this altar up and he says, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold, silver, stone, graven by art and man's devices. People that, you know, will make idols and make things and become very spiritual people. Like, because of their conscience, they know they need to worship somebody. And then because of creation, they know it needs to be a creator. So they'll create, and that's why people pray and do their things to gods. All over the globe, they do this. But watch verse 30. I love this verse in Scripture. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God has you and me, the church of the living God. Everybody worships something, man. It's just jacked up is usually what it is. So now that we know him and know his word, God always seems to provide a witness. So like here, like people like, well, that guy there, they go to this church or these people worship them and it don't line up with the Bible. And guess what God says? The Bible says, times of ignorance. God winks at it and gives a second chance. And he sends you and me as a witness. That's why we should witness. We should tell people the good news because everything else is bad news. He commands people everywhere to repent, and me and you get to carry that message, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, yeah, Jesus knows what's in man. I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care how good you act. I don't care how much fudge you got on. You know what's inside of you? Yes, that's what the Bible says. And men require a witness. And what's cool about this, I love as the story unfolds, because, you know, Nicodemus comes along at nighttime. Like, who are you fooling, pal? Can't humble yourself, so you're sneaking around at nighttime, you religious leader. He starts asking questions. You know, you always think of yourself, if I was Jesus, what would I do? That's nighttime. I'd probably scare the bejeebers out of him is what I'd do. But look what verse 3, it says this. But Jesus answered and said unto him. It says in verse 4, Nicodemus goes, I don't get it. Lord, I don't understand how this can be. Look at verse 5. Jesus answered. You got now verse 9, Jesus is explaining himself. In verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? You know how it is when you have a child in your house that's like learning to walk and they're learning to talk. And why? You know, they got questions about everything. And you explain, well, this is exactly what it is. And they can't tell you, oh, why? You know, they want to know. And I like Jesus in verse 10 for the third time. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him. Okay, guys, mark this down. Jesus always has the answer. He always has the answer. Because men have questions, right? Did you know the Bible says that we should know this book? And you know why we should know this book and the doctrine in this book? So that we can give an answer to a man of the hope that lies within us. God wrote a book, it fits into our hands, and people don't even know the book. They don't know what God said. Shame, shame. God knows your name. God wrote a book. You're like, it's just so hard to read the Bible. Yeah, I get it. The perfect, the creator of the universe, the God that gave his life for you. I don't care what he says. Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I care what he says. No, you don't. You didn't open the book. Open the book. Go to God's word. Jesus always has the answer. And I'm here to tell you, you'll come to me and say, hey, I got a question for you. And I've been plagued. My oldest daughter keeps asking me hard questions, not even about the Bible, but about life. And the other day, she's like, man, you ain't giving me no answers. I'm like, maybe I don't got any. Maybe you better go to someone that does. That's where I go. Eliminate me. Right? I'm not the mediator between God and man. Who is it? Jesus. It's Jesus. He's got the answers. You know what I like about this too is, like, Jesus, look at verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? And watch verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. When Jesus says verily, verily, if his words ain't wasted, it's like he has to get your attention. Hey, listen to me. By the way, Coach Bear Bryant, that's how he always communicated. He doubled everything. Everything. So people get it. Jesus says, verily, verily. And all of a sudden you're like, man, why do you repeat that word? I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen. And he tells him, and ye receive not our witness. The issue here is Jesus always has the answer. Men don't like the answer. It's the answer that they did not want. And that's why verse 20 here, we just read it earlier. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. A lot of times the answer, that's what when people tell me that the Bible was written by men. Men would not write a book like this to say the awful things about human beings that it does. Man didn't write that. That's God's book. You see what when men write books, how they turn out. That's right. So men don't want their deeds reproved. And so Jesus says, we're bringing a witness, what we have seen. So you got conscience and creation, and then all of a sudden, you know, John the Baptist comes on the scene as a witness. He's witnessing of Christ. Christ comes on the scene and witnesses of the things he's seen and heard. The Son of the Father. We'll see a little bit more of that here. And the bottom line is people, Jesus just says, you ain't receiving it. And people say that sometimes, don't they? I'm not having that. I ain't having it. You don't have to have it if you don't want to. It's like giving medicine to a child. I mean, Target's learned it. I think they were the first group that came up with it. Hey, let's put cherry in this cough syrup so it, like, tastes good. Well, it's not good, but it's good for you. You know, why is it that way? Nobody likes diets. Why does nobody like to eat a certain type of diet? Because anything that's good for you tastes like garbage. They were trying to offer me tomatoes at this thing. I said, no, thanks. Like, you don't need tomatoes? You need to eat your vegetables. I said, tomatoes? They come out of the ground, right? And you bite into them, and that juice runs, and it tastes just like dirt. Why are you putting salt and pepper on that thing? Why are you trying to dip it in something, roll it in flour, and fry it? Why are you putting it in the spaghetti? Why are you making spaghetti and putting it in the sauce? Because you're trying to cover up dirt. That's what you're trying to do. It's nasty. They're like, well, it's good for you. I will not deny that. I won't deny that. But have you ever tried a Snicker bar? Well, praise the Lord. But Snicker bars ain't great for you. In John chapter 8, if you're in John 3, it won't take you long just to flip over a few pages. Go to John chapter 8 and verse 32. John chapter 8, verse 32. He says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? The truth shall make you free. So guys, listen. Truth is very hard to deal with. But it will set you free. A lot of people just remain in bondage because, you know what? They don't like the witness. They won't receive the witness of truth that can actually set them free. Jesus is telling this religious leader. Here's a religious leader. He's a ruler of the Jews. Guys, think of it this way. He's a ruler of the Jews. Like, this guy's well known. He's smart. People come to him for all the answers. He is an orator. He stands up and proclaims and gives lectures and does all this business. And he comes to Jesus like, you know, are you from God? And Jesus says, let me tell you something, Buster. Except a man be born again, he'll never see the kingdom of God. Do you know how offensive that would be for a guy that tries to live a pristine life? That tries to take the law and just know it up and down? And Jesus says, you know what you need to be? A baby. A baby. I mean, this guy has the garb on. He looks amazing. Religious leader? Jesus says, yeah, a little humility. Pal, you don't know anything, man. You better deal with this. There's a ball of truth here saying you got to be born again. Your good work's going to take you somewhere because you're a religious man. You think you're going to see the kingdom of God? No, them doors are closed to you. It's very offensive. You can just, you know, it's like you and me witnessing to a guy. Guys, hey, can you spare some change, man? You know, you can talk to a guy like that about Jesus. Somebody has a bad habit in their life, and they come up and say, hey, man, can you help? And you smell liquor on their breath. We start telling them about Jesus. It's easy to tell them. But then you got a pastor in town that comes in and talks to you. Why does nobody witness to him? We think because he's a religious man or a woman, they got answers. Jesus proved something to be true. He knows what's in man. And gang, we do too. What's in them is the same thing that was in us. Sinner. They need to be born again. He says the truth will make you free. You know what men do? Well, go to Romans. Like we keep back, since this is such a gospel-centered chapter in John, you got to keep going back to Romans and seeing what it says, because it says this: we know truth will make you free. So in Romans chapter 1, like, look at verse, God's given them the truth, right? He's given them a conscience, given them creation. So it says in verse 22, Romans 1:22, hey, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now watch this. Everybody pay attention. Verse 23. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up, they can believe what they want to be, to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. How many people tell you that? Follow your own heart. Just follow your heart, brother. Okay? It says here, when men don't like to deal with the truth, they want to change God's glory, God will give them up to their own heart's desire to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Look at verse 25. Here's what men do, who changed the truth of God into a lie. They worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use and that which is against nature. It's amazing to me, this book spits out so much truth in Romans. Men don't like to deal with truth. So guys, listen to me. Here's the solution. If you don't like the truth, then change it. We're living in a time right now where people don't like the word. They don't like its definition. So they change the definition. That's the world we live in. Everybody just changes it. And all of a sudden they put themselves up like Lucifer as God. They'll write the rules as they go. And people say, well, here's what the Bible says. And they'll say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you can believe whatever you want to believe. Welcome to the world. You can be, there's two options here, right? You can be God, or you can worship the one true God. I don't care what other gods you want outside of the Bible. You can be God, or you can worship God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are your two options. God's real simple about that. You can base your salvation, your belief system upon your works and what you put together. Or you can be a woman or a man of faith and believe exactly what God said. Because God wrote a book, but people don't like it, do they? That's why Jesus comes as man that has more answers than anybody else, and he has to secretly ask questions. Don't fool yourself. Even the college professor don't have a clue outside of this book. They make it up as they go. That's why the best class in college is philosophy. If you can't pass philosophy class, you got problems. Because you just make everything up. That's what I always did. Just make it up. That's what I believe. You create this little world and system of how you think, and as long as you can prove it a little bit, they're just like, well, and what can they say to you? Hey, this is my philosophy. That's what it's about. It's come up with your own solution. It's like world religion, right? Make it up as you go. But I got news for you. Jesus always has the answers. You know what men do? When confronted with truth, with the answer, they change it. Do you see it? It's in our culture all over the place. And even in Romans, it's just like, even their women did leave their natural use that God created them for. And now, it's gone so crazy and wild now, people are literally like, you know, it's funny. Isn't it comical? Like, I'm no longer a woman, I'm a man. And like, if you told that to a three-year-old, you know, you bring a rough, burly guy over, you know, he's got facial hair and big muscles. He stands there and he just says, son, call me Shirley. The three-year-old is going to laugh every time. Shirley? What kind of Shirley is a girl's name? I am a girl. What do you do with that? He just changed the definitions. But we need to know that's what men do. When you're confronted with the truth, that's why the biggest middle finger, two letters of the alphabet, the F-U, the biggest one you can give to the God of the universe is when he just said, you are a woman. You're just like, no, I'm not. And you just change. What it is when you're confronted with truth. And usually everybody that does, I'm just telling you, in behind all of that, you know what it is? It's brokenness. It's sinfulness. And that's what needs dealt with. And that's why Jesus says, you ain't going to fix this in your flesh. You need to be born again. You need a spiritual birth. Spiritual. Can't see it. It's deeper than mankind can get. It's deeper than your therapist can take you. That's for real. It's going down to the soul of mankind. Now, here's what I love about this passage of Scripture. Because, guys, Jesus always has the answer. Would you agree? As Christians, do we agree Jesus always has the answer? Let me detail a little bit more for you. Jesus not only has all the answers, Jesus is that answer. He is. That's why here, what's he say? Look at John chapter 3, look at verse 14. Look at verse 13. And no man ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What? Yeah. Jesus is the answer. In this chapter, look what comes out in verse 16. The most famous verse known around the entire world about the Bible. This is it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, it says this, should not perish but have everlasting life. Should not perish. Verse 15 says, yeah, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You know what this tells me? Outside of a belief and a receiving of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, all you got is perishing. You know what perishing is? Hey, we'd like everybody to donate a bunch of food. We want non-perishable foods. What do they mean by that? Foods that don't easily spoil, right? But the Bible makes it pretty clear that things that perish is life. It's human beings. It's the frailty. You know how it is. You get a little bit older. It's hard to deal with as you get older. You can't do what you used to. Just everything changes, don't it? And we recognize this, that, man, I can't wait for eternity. Because we're a people of faith, man. We are people, we know, once I got born again, I'm spiritual. Now I think about bigger and better things. It's not, and that's why he contrasts the flesh and the spirit in this whole thing. So, Jesus is the answer. Light has come into the world, it says here. Look at verse 34 and 30. Look how he ends the chapter. Look at 35. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. And the last verse in this chapter says, he that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Whew. Whew. The theme of this chapter, he even covers at the end, you know, because you got John the Baptist. What's the Bible say about purifying? So we got a religious man looking clean, having morality, and Jesus said that ain't the answer. John the Baptist comes along with some purifying, doing some baptizing. Guess what? That ain't the answer. He clearly says this, that men need a new birth. The people that we know and live with, all of us sitting here, without a spiritual birth, you'll never have everlasting life. With Christ, the Bible says, your end will be a perishing. It's a condemnation. The wrath of God will send you. The Bible says, you'll spend an eternity in hell. That's hard. Who's heard a good message on hell? Nobody talks about it anymore. You know why? Men don't like that answer. So you got to go to church and learn three ways to be financially successful in 2024. How to have a better marriage. It's all those like practical issues of life. Instead of John chapter 3 where he clearly says this. If you don't know Jesus Christ and place your faith and belief in him and receive him, if you will not be born again, you will go to hell faster than a speeding bullet. Your eternity will be horrifying. And he keeps saying it over and over here again. But he says, you don't believe our witness. I'm telling you. And Jesus says, I'm the one that ascended from the sky. You know, men always try to get to heaven. You can't get to heaven. So that's why God came down. And he says, I give you my witness, but you say my witness is not true. And men change the truth. That's why even passages of the Bible, people are like, I'm not sure when that really says that. No, I'm pretty sure it says that. It says what it says, right? Says what it means what it says. It's pretty simple. Men need born again. And let me tell you what's hard about this concept. By the way, look at verse 6. Let me straighten up a little bit of doctrine here. Well, verse 5. Jesus answers, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. A lot of churches like to take this and they say this is baptism. And you know what the Bible says about that? You're wrong. Do you like that answer? Well, it don't matter. He's grading the paper. It's wrong. Look what it says in verse 6. See, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So he tells us what that born of the water is. It's a fleshly birth. And he straightens this out here as you keep reading the chapter. So basically, you got to be born, right? But that fleshly birth, or when mama's water breaks, then there's a physical birth. And that physical birth ain't good enough, even if you're a Pharisee. Can you picture this guy standing there? Like, I mean, this dude is wicked smart. He's wicked moral. He's super religious. And it's hard to hear the, you know, we got a whole Bible, right? Picture no New Testament yet, and Jesus Christ is just hammering this dude with the truth. He's like, huh? What you mean by that? I don't get it. He keeps coming back with questions, and Jesus Christ keeps shooting the answer. And finally, Jesus calls him on it. Jesus calls him on it in verse 11 and says, Paul, I've realized something. You're fighting me on here because you don't like what I'm saying. You don't like to believe what I'm saying because if you accept the light, your deeds will be manifest. You arrogant, religious cat turd. That's my version. That's the version I wrote. That's the ghetto version from the projects, right? For all are cat turds and have fallen short of what God expects, man. So, I want you to see in verse 3, he says you need to be born again. In verse 7, he says it again, you must be born again. Guys, notice what he does in verse 8. Verse 8, he says, see, the wind bloweth. Because this guy's like, I don't get it. Yeah, you don't see it because it's a spiritual birth. You know, nobody has seen the wind. You just see its evidence. That's all. That's why I like some people. You know, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes, you know, we like to say it this way, like, man, that just hit me right in the feels, man. Right in the fields. Well, it don't mean somebody slapped you or punched you. It means truth hit and God's word went in deep. And you're like, whew, you feel that? Some people don't. I get it. And I'm not talking about just feelings. But the bottom line is it's invisible. I mean, the only time you see the wind is if it catches dust. What you're really seeing is dust. The wind's just pushing it. You know? And then this guy's struggling with it. And he's just, that's funny. You believe in the wind, why? Because its evidence is everywhere. But all of a sudden, I testify of a God that wants you, a God that's coming to be lifted up to give his life for you. And you don't like it because it goes against your religious system. Hardest thing in the world is if you believe to be a good guy, you got to check these three boxes. And then you get in the Bible and you realize, where's my three boxes at? They're not in there, pal. They're all under one messy category called a litter box. The same place that my boxes are. We don't like the answers the Bible gives. And what do you do when you have to say, I don't like being a boy? I'm sorry. I get that part. Wish I wasn't a girl. Kids say that stuff, don't they? But our kids eat boogers too. Really? They don't know what's going on. You ever get your kid and you're like, how long have you been playing with this mess in your pants? Kids play with their pants messy. Kids will pee their pants and they'll continue playing. What's wrong with you? And what do? We train and train them with truth and just say, hey, man, you got to grow up someday and quit messing in your pants like this, you know? It's a growth process, right? It's funny to me that here we are, Jesus Christ takes this guy. We make up our own rules and go with it. And Jesus proves that it's wrong. It's false. And your deeds prove that. But men don't like that answer, so they'll change the definition. Well, by golly, I don't like who I was made to be, so I'll be something else. I don't like what God said, that his light and his word will change the way I think, and I need the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I don't like about Christianity. What about all the other religions in the world? Well, then you got two options here. Everybody's right. Everybody's a winner. Or God's true, and His word is accurate, and everything else is false. Where are you going to go? Well, if you want to reject this, you're going to just say, well, it's whatever you think is right. Whatever your interpretation is, that's fine. However you choose to live life, just be happy. Be respectful to other people. There's world religions, by the way. If you dig a little bit deeper, you would think, oh, we need to be kind, be peace, be loving. I don't know about you, but I've not read the Quran from cover to cover, but I've read chunks and pieces of it. And it's pretty amazing to me. Do you know how much hate's in that book? The only name of God that's not in that book is a God that is a God of love. And you read that, and all of a sudden these extreme Muslim groups, they're not extreme. Like, the only thing extreme they are is they're extremely obedient to the book they have. And they're violent. And don't let them fool you. If you think you're going to live your crazy, sexual, revolutionized, homosexual lifestyle there, you die. You die in their culture. They don't let you live. And people would look at Christianity and say, what's wrong with you? We at least recognize that from the beginning you're born in sin. And so we watch people and we have compassion and feel sorry for the way they making their own rules has turned out. And that's why they have a witness they've rejected. We come along as the other witness and just say, man, you need to repent. Because God's word says something different. God so loved the world. He gave His Son for you. And His witness is true. If you'd believe on Him, you'd have everlasting life. You could know Him today. This could all change. And the Bible says most people reject the truth. They'll just reject it. Men need to be born again. I like how He uses the wind, because it's an invisible thing. In Romans, didn't we read, the invisible things from Him from the world are clearly seen. God wants to take the invisible and make them visible. There's something about the invisible, and God says He'll reveal it. I like Colossians 1:15 that says, hey, God's invisible. He's a spirit. Nobody can see God. But Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Bam! So we have seen Jesus. When you receive His words and you know Him, the Bible says, then clarity comes to you and me. Truth begins to set men free. We're like Moses in the book of Hebrews, where it says, and he come along, he believed what God said, and he seen the invisible. What? Yeah, it's crazy. I like how it says here. It just works, that thing, the wind. It says in verse 13, you know, men try to get to heaven, but no, Jesus came down. Heaven came down for you, man. Heaven came down in glory, filled my soul. That's Jesus. When at the cross, that's when it was. Jesus came down and died for you and me. See, men need to be born again. Jesus Christ is the bridge, right? I like the story of the Moses. You guys all get this. Here's where I'm going to end on. I'm going to end on three things, and let me give them to you. Notice verse 15 and 16. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16 says what? God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The first word I want to point you to is the word perish. You know, the word perish actually means to destroy. What it's saying here is if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're going to perish. If you know Jesus, you won't perish. And you know what the word perish, it means, yeah, destruction. Or you won't last long. You won't last long. Some of you that choose to be God and make your own rules and do whatever you want to do, some of you that you're like a good businessman, deep down, you're just following the money. If you want to live that way, fine. Be God as long as you can, because you probably are lucky if you have 20 more left. I would focus on eternity if I was you. Look at verse 17. It says, for God sent not His Son into the world to what? Condemn. Now we're using another word. God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. See, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. And check this out in verse 18. He that believeth not is condemned already. people coming to church sometimes like, I don't like the way he preaches, like hellfire and damnation. That's very condemning words. My friend, you know why you take it that way? You're rejecting words of truth. You're already condemned. That's how you're processing truth. But the Bible says you were condemned before you ever walked in the door. This is the condemnation. See, light is coming to the world. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And be careful here. You can always twist Scripture and make it say what you want it to say. I don't want to do that. Kind of like at the beginning, people say, yep, see, you need to be baptized and receive Christ. You got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Well, it don't say that. It says the water would be the flesh, the fleshly birth. Then you would hear, and it talks about condemnation. And I like how the Bible says, no, you're condemned already. Because it's proven who you are because your deeds. That just proves to everybody. And so the word condemnation actually means to be put asunder. You're condemned or separated. Basically, let me say this. The word perishing, you won't last long. The word condemning or condemnation, you do not belong. You'll never belong. You'll never be part of the kingdom. You'll never be a part of God's family outside of Jesus Christ. Condemned. 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 Verse 35 says, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I want to end on this third word. Wrath, the negative word in the chapter, the wrath of God. You know, wrath would be like what? Anger. Or, what? Check this out. Another word for wrath in the Bible is vengeance. Somebody taking vengeance. God would only take vengeance on somebody that's done him wrong. You've already decided because of your conscience and creation that you don't believe it. God has now sent you witnesses, hopefully Christians that have come along and given you the words of the truth, and you won't receive it. And guess what? You're claiming to be against God. But what you really find out at the end is, he's against you. You will face his wrath. You won't last long. You do not belong in God's family or the kingdom of God. And you're against God. That's the negative part of this story. I hope you believe and receive the other parts where God loves you. And he gave his son for you. Because outside of Jesus, there is no hope for mankind. I hope you know that. Guys, I hope you know that. We're Bible believers. And sometimes, you know, even around here, sometimes like even politically, we'll talk how stupid. I don't know if you realize this, but after the debates last week, they fact-checked both of them the next day. Donald Trump said this, fact-checked. False. He lied. Then they'd say, well, Harris said this. They fact-checked. Said, oh, she lied too. They were both embellishing truth. They were both exaggerating truth. Both sides. I'm like, you know what it just told me? Neither one of them the answer for hope. Neither one of them. One might be better for the economy, and it kind of depends on the way you live and how you live. You might determine one party's better than the other. And it probably depends on what you want out of life. That's how that works. Sometimes we can't think smarter, think bigger, and all that type of thing. I get it. It just depends on how you grew up, you know. John 17:17 says, this is the book of truth. Truth can set us free. And Jesus Christ comes on the scene and says, what's the real problem with religion is? Is they won't receive the witness that Jesus came of the things he testified and seen. The one that God sent down from heaven, his only begotten son, to die for the sins of mankind. Hey guys, listen to me. And I want you to prove me this week. The gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ still changes lives. Prove it. Would you tell somebody this week, the Bible says, you must be born again. dude, I know you're trying hard and you're a good person. Oh, it's like, yeah, man, I've been sober for 10 months. Hey, dude, I'm glad. Lady, I'm glad you've been sober. That's a good thing. I know that stuff is destructive. But you know, really? You know the why you're using in the first place? Because you are a cat turd, man. Oh, don't be offended at that. I was born a turd too. Romans 3:23 says all have sinned. And so that's why Jesus Christ came to planet Earth. And the Bible's pretty clear about this. I don't know about you. I don't want to perish. Men are trying to live forever. That's why the number one place to work in the future. Tell your children, get a job in the medical industry. You know why? Because they're trying to make the flesh. They're trying to make the flesh live forever. That's the whole goal and purpose behind it. The flesh brings pain, suffering, and death. Can we eliminate that? Well, we're going to try our hardest. You know why? Because if you're not born again, that's all you got. You're going to perish. Condemnation. To be condemned. To be put asunder. I talked to a guy this week. He was in church, and he's church hopped to several places. And it was sad. He's just like, no, I just want a place where I can belong. It was so sad. I was just like, well, if you're going to belong and be part of the kingdom, you better be born again. You better meet Jesus Christ and have a spiritual birth. God's seed, 1 Corinthians 1, the incorruptible seed, you accept it, it goes inside, and there is a conception, a birth. The Holy Spirit of God now is alive and living inside of you and me. Then the last is the wrath of God. You know what's crazy about this? You know why you'll face the wrath of God? When He brings His love through His Son and allows His Son to be brutally sacrificed for you, and you will look at that witness and that testimony in front of you, and you look at it and reject it, and God just says, you reject the plan I gave for you? Yeah, always like, how can a God be so mean and cruel and be a God of wrath? He's actually a God of love. But reject that and see where it gets you. That's why people face that. It's sad. They like to put the responsibility on Him. But no, your deeds are evil, my friend. You keep repelling light because you love darkness. You love it. And here's the good news. I talk like this real strong. Remember at the beginning of this chapter, the first half of this chapter, He's speaking to a very pretty, religious, morally good dude. Successful. Most people say, that's successful. What do you want to be when you grow up? Nobody ever says they want to be, you know what I want to be? I don't want to just be a drug dealer. I want to be a drug addict. When I get older, I'm going to be divorced twice. I'm going to develop a habit of smoking cigarettes and get lung cancer. Everybody else in my family, nobody says that stuff. You all start off different and look at your family and say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be that. Then all of a sudden you get older in life, and all of a sudden you're faced with truth, and you're like, "What? Guess what? You just come out of the litter box. There ain't nothing edible that comes out of there. But God gives a solution. And guys, I know a lot of us in this room claim to be born again. May this message prompt you to say, other people need the witness. That's why we're here today. To be prompted to say, men require a witness. Times of ignorance, God winked at. Listen, people are ignorant. They just don't know. That's why they just, you know, sheep led to the slaughter. You ever pass, you're on the highway out there, and you look over and some pig sticks his snout out of a hole out of a semi? And it's funny because I got a house of girls, so, you know, especially when they're like, aww, look at the pigs in there. Look at that pig. That's all, folks. They're going to take a right. That's all, folks. They're going to die. Let's be people of truth and spread this word around, right? I don't want anybody to perish, face God's wrath. They're condemned already, gang. So let's give them the word of truth that God open their eyes. May people be born again. Jesus, thank you for your word today. God, it's hard words to hear, but God, I pray we really focus on right in the middle that you opened up a God that loves, a God that makes a sacrifice for stubborn, rebellious people that like to change truth. God, thanks for this book of truth today. Hey, gang, before I say amen, I want you to keep your head bowed. Are you a religious person in here? Maybe you've been fooling us for years. And today your heart is just tearing you apart because you've never been born again. The secret to all this, it's not just coming in here Bible answers, but to realize that Jesus Christ is the ultimate answer. He wants to be your Savior today. He gave His life for you and for me. And if you believe in Him and then you receive Him, the Bible says you can become a child of God. You can actually be part of the kingdom of God. Outside of Jesus Christ, you'll never even get a glimpse. You won't even enter the porch of the kingdom of God. Because it's a spiritual kingdom. Is there anybody in here today that you would be bold enough and honest enough to say, I am not sure I'm a Christian? As I look at the pages of the Bible, I'm not sure I've been born again. Listen, gang, there's no shame in that. There'll be celebration in this room. If that's you, please, men, say something. Are you a Christian? Have you ever met the Lord Jesus Christ? If you need to know Him, man, raise your hand. If by faith you've never put your faith, your trust in Him, please say, I want to see it. I want to see it from God's Word, and you can meet Jesus Christ. That's what becoming a Christian is. Guys, I'm not talking about morality here. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. I'm not talking about fleshly, just being a better person. Well, I'll try harder this week. No, you need to start off by right now, by ending that thinking. Fleshly thinking is going to lead you to a bad spot. Take the layers of fudge off and realize this is what it is. It needs transformed. Guys, if it don't get transformed from the inside out, guess what? Yep, you're just the litter box, man. Please say something before you leave if you need a Savior. Jesus, thank you for your word today. Thanks for just the praise, God, because you deserve it. Thanks for these good people. Lord, and all together today, we just want to tell you we love you. Thanks for your sacrifice. Thanks for allowing us not to perish. Thanks for taking our condemnation. God, thanks for turning your wrath from us because Jesus Christ took it for us. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.